Well, how many have heard the expression bogged down? Bogged down? Okay, good. A couple people have heard it. You know where it comes from? It comes from being mired or stuck in a literal bog. Do you know what a bog is? Okay, a bog, it's like a grassy or a wooded area where the ground underneath of it is saturated. In New Jersey, and this ground, you know, most of it you can walk on, and it's good to walk on, and every once in a while you hit a spot and you just sink in, right? So that's what it means getting bogged down, that you got to sludge it through and you can't make it through, and you get bogged down. Now, in Jersey, we have many different boggy places in New Jersey, I mean, down in the Pine Barrens and things like that, but probably the most notable is down the shore, in the marshes, in the Back Bay marshes, and I'll tell you, if you've ever tried to walk through the marshes down the shore, you know what it means to get bogged down. I can't tell you how many times I'm looking for fiddler crabs, you know, for bait and things like that, and you have to go into the marshes and find them, and you'll be walking along just as good as can be, and you'll be like, oh, there's one over there, and you take a step, and all of a sudden, your leg's down past your knee into the mud, and you're stuck, and you can't get out, and you're like, oh, hope the tide's not coming in, right? But that's being bogged down. At least literally. But the truth is, we can get bogged down in life as well. You know, bogged down like you're trying to make it out of work, and you're just like, man, I can make it out of work on time today. And all of a sudden, some papers start coming on your desk. You start getting some messages and phone calls, and stuff starts piling up, and you're just like, I can't make it out. But even more than just in life, we can get bogged down spiritually. Did you know that we can get bogged down spiritually as we're following Jesus? You see, life with its busyness and its problems and its challenges has a way of bogging us down, slowing us as we follow Jesus. Maybe taking us off our stride as we're just kind of walking along and we're like, man, this life is pretty easy. It's pretty smooth. Maybe it can stop us altogether and get us stuck for a time. You know, things that come upon us, like health emergencies that may come upon us, that can bog us down or can knock us for a loop. Dealing with schedules. You know, if you're a parent of a school kid this time of year, schedules can bog us down, can it? We have sports, we have concerts, we have all these events, or maybe other family responsibilities can take our time and attention. And even in this craziness of the approaching holiday season, and this year is going to be even crazier than usual since Thanksgiving's so late, you know, we can get bogged down. We can get distracted from the real reason of this whole season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and from celebrating and sharing the joy of Jesus, because we can get consumed, right, with decorating things, with shopping, with trying to manage visiting family. And we can just get so bogged down, we forget what we're doing. You see, when we embark on the journey of becoming Jesus' disciple, it's not always an easy, smooth, paved road that we get to follow him on. Sometimes we need to trudge through the mud, through the bogs, and somehow keep going without getting bogged down. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to revisit our challenge for 2019. You remember our challenge for 2019? It's becoming, where we're learning to follow Jesus and becoming his disciples. And during this year, we've learned many things, right? About what it means to follow Jesus, following Jesus by getting to know him through his word, by through prayer, through sharing him with other people, learning how to share him with our friends and those that are in our lives. And all of this, it will get us growing, and it'll help us on this journey of becoming. Yet, as we follow Jesus on this journey, we need to recognize that life can bog us down spiritually. And the greatest threat isn't necessarily big stuff that hits us. Usually big stuff we can see coming and we know it's there, so we can say, well, I've got to get around this, or I need extra help with this or all that, and we can plan for. Now, usually it's the little stuff that just kind of starts grabbing our legs, slowing us down as we go through, and can bog us down and discourage us. So what do we do? What do we do to keep from getting bogged down in our spiritual life? How do we navigate these bogs in life without getting stuck? Well, this morning I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn. If you need a Bible, there's one in front of you. If you're like, man, where's Ephesians? I think it's page 978 maybe, somewhere around there. So you can turn there. But anyway, as you're turning, Ephesians, it's a letter Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and he's sharing with growing believers, and he's sharing with us as followers of Jesus, how to walk more confidently in following Jesus. In fact, in chapter 5, Paul lays it out, and chapter 5 is really about our walk. In verse 8 of chapter 5, Paul challenges us. He says, walk as children of the light. But that's not always easy. So beginning in verse 15, Paul begins to share some instruction on how to walk wisely without getting bogged down. So here's what he needs to, here's what he wants to say. Verse 15, and you can follow along. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. You know what debauchery is? It's like excessive ways that we seek to pleasure, you know, or to please ourselves. Okay, to feel better. And we do that in excess, or it's what we're all about. So he says, well, that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So here's Paul sharing, right? He says, hey, you want to walk wisely? You want to go through life where you're sludging through the mud but not get bogged down? Here's what you need to do. He says, be careful how you walk, right? He's basically saying, walk wise. In fact, he says, making the best use of time, right? That's wisdom. Wisdom is able to make the best use of our time or do things efficiently. And that's what he's saying. So he wants us to live efficient lives or making the best use of time. And we need to do this because the days are evil. How many people know our days are evil? We live in a messed up world, don't we? We live in a world that just, it's crazy sometimes. Things that are going on. And sometimes they shock us. But you know, even more than that, it's dangerous. We live in a dangerous world, especially in following Jesus, because there's many pitfalls that can slow us down or that can consume us or just make us ineffective in living a life that shares Jesus. Again, it's not usually the big stuff. It's a lot of times it's a bunch of little things that slow us down in our walk with Jesus. So then Paul goes on and he shares, what does it look like then to walk wisely? To walk through bogs without getting bogged down. That's why the message is called bog walking, right? So what does it look like to walk wisely, avoid getting bogged down with life? Well, he begins in verse 17. He says, don't be foolish. Don't just go blindly forward. Rather, understand what God's will is. In other words, Paul's saying walking wisely or not getting bogged down means that we see the big picture. In the midst of life, in the midst of craziness in life, we need to keep focused that there is a big picture. Now, what this means, it's kind of summed up in the expression, you know, seeing the forest through the trees. Sometimes we can get so consumed with looking at individual trees that we forget we're in a big forest. Right? And so, yeah, we might make it past one tree and put all our energy to that, but then we don't realize there's a lot more. And there's a big picture going on. Well, seeing the big picture here means that we understand that no matter where we are or what we're facing, God is working his will, even if we can't see it. That's the big picture, is that no matter what we're going through, God is always working, and he's always working his will. Even if we can't see it, or even if we don't understand it, and why we're having to go through things, God does, and God has a plan. You know, one of the things I love doing with Becky is, as I'm getting older now, I'm kind of she looks at me as an old guy, so I like to show her movies from my childhood that I used to love. And I like to introduce them to her, and I always remind her, I said, do I ever steer you wrong? Do I ever steer you wrong, Becky? Nope. So I show her movies that I loved growing up, like Chariots of Fire, or like the Blues Brothers, Jaws, things like that. Well, anyway, yesterday, we had some time, and I said, Becky, I want to show you a movie. And this movie always makes me, cry like a baby, and it will you too. Do you want to watch it? I actually told her this Thursday, and she kept saying no, and I wore her down until yesterday. And I finally got her to watch it. It's a movie called Mr. Holland's Opus. Have you ever seen it? If you haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil the movie for you right now. And I don't care. But anyway, Mr. Holland's Opus. Basically, here's the movie, right? It's this guy, about this guy, Glenn Holland. He's a musician. And he's always dreamed of being a composer. He's going to write this wonderful symphony. But he's newly married and he's young. And he was doing clubs and bar mitzvahs and all that kind of stuff. So he wasn't really making a living. He says, I got to save up some money. So he does what he never wanted to do. He becomes a high school music teacher. And he says, well, I'll have time during the summer to write and during my evenings and all of this. Besides, I only have to do this for 4 years. Then I'll have enough money saved up and I can finally get to what I'm made for. Well, then 4 years quickly turns into 15. His summers are filled up with all kinds of things for school as well, because he's got to pay for a house and a new baby and all of these things. Then 15 turns into 20, and 20, 30, with him finding little or no time to work on his own stuff because he's so busy teaching. And then after 31 years, his position at the school is eliminated because of budget cuts, right? And he's forced to retire, feeling like he has wasted his life. And he's a failure. Anyway, his last day, he's walking out of school and he hears some noise and he stumbles into a room where he finds it's filled with people there to honor him. People from the last 30 years whose lives he has touched. And one of them stands up and says, you know, we heard you've always been working on this symphony that was going to make you rich and famous, and this was what you were made for. And you might think your life's a failure, but we want to tell you the lives you have influenced. We here today, we are your symphony. We are your music. And that what he left behind, it wasn't wasted. It was magnificent. He just couldn't see that God was working, that there was a purpose to this. And we can get like that, you know, and we can kind of get there and say, man, I'm just wasting my time, or I'm going through this, and it's not the direction that I'm made for. But God is working and weaving things and using us. And he wants us to trust the big picture. You see, God is working his will no matter what we're going through. Do you know that? And sure, we might not see it clearly or even believe it, but he is. And when we can trust his big picture, instead of looking downcast, do you know what's going to happen? We keep our heads up, looking for the next steps where he leads us. You know, many of you know that we're dealing with some, as a family, dealing with some difficult health situations with Rachel right now. And it's agonizing, because there's only so much we can do, and it's frustrating. And you're sitting there going, what is the purpose of all this? Why are we going through all this? But you know, Debbie and Becky and myself, we've talked about this, and we're encouraging each other with this truth. God is still working, and he will use this, even this. We can't wait to see how. You see, this is the big picture, his picture from far above the mud and the muck. Paul talks about that in Colossians. He talks about what this looks like. He says in Colossians 3, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set our minds on the things above, not on the things of earth. The big picture. The stuff that he's doing. Seeing God's big picture, it keeps us walking through the thickest bogs of life. And then Paul continues. He says, you know, not only shouldn't we be foolish, but, you know, we should see the big picture, but we also shouldn't be drunk with wine. Rather, we should be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, right? God in us. Now, Paul is talking about something much bigger than just drinking alcohol here, okay, or getting drunk. It's what that represents. You see, many get drunk to escape their troubles, don't they? Had a bad day, I don't want to feel anything right now. I'm going through a lot of stuff, I just need to escape for a little bit. And the truth is that we can do this kind of escape through just trying to please ourselves and not have to deal with something. We do it a lot of different ways rather than, because you might just sit there and go, well, I don't do that. Well, let's look at some other ways we may try to escape. Like, let me just veg in front of the TV for a while. Or let me just pour myself into a hobby so I don't have to deal with this. Or, you know, spend all my time on my phone or on the internet, escaping the reality of what we may be facing. And for a time, you know what, we may be able to escape. But you know what we also find out? All we're doing is delaying with dealing with what's before us. It doesn't go away just because we cover our eyes or our ears. We eventually will face it. So Paul offers a wise alternative here. Rather than escaping, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, wise walking, or this bog walking that we're talking about, means that we cling to God. So we not only see the big picture, but we cling to God. That's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. It's relying solely on the Holy Spirit, or trusting, clinging to God in us. Rather than escape what we're dealing with, we hold on to the one who is bigger than whatever we could possibly face. He's the one who's before, who's in the midst, and who's well beyond what we're facing, and he alone can guide us through. So he says, cling to that. You know, that's what the writer of Proverbs is getting at when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to do this on your own way. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know what acknowledge him means here? Cling. Hold on to him. Trust him. And he will make your path straight. He'll get you through. Clinging to God, or being filled with the Spirit, it's not about our strength to cling. It's rather us recognizing that, you know what? We're going to get bogged down if we're on our own. But God won't ever get bogged down. So we stick to him like glue. No matter what. I don't understand this, but I'm sticking with you. And the more we're stuck to him, the less that will stick to us. Do you know that? The more that we're stuck to God, the more that we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the less that will stick to us and bog us down. That's wise bog walking. And then Paul goes on. He says, not only should we be doing this, but there's more activity that we should have. Right? And he goes on in the next verse. And he says, well, you know, addressing each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know what that is? That's with God's truth. We should be spending our time focusing and communicating about God's truth. And then we're to give thanks in everything at all times. In other words, walking wisely means we commit ourselves to worship. You want to walk wisely and not get bogged down? Commit yourself to worship. I don't want to get bogged down. Commit myself to worship. And this worship, it includes praising God from our heart, right? According to his word, or for who he is, and then thanking him, or for what he's done, or what he will do. And Paul gives us a picture of this. Later on in Colossians 3, he talks more about this. And he says, well, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, these activities, this worship, praising God for who he is and thanking him for what he's done, it frees us. They help us navigate through difficult situations we face with hope and joy, rather than getting bogged down with bitterness and frustration and regret. You see, it's so easy when we're stuck in the mud or trudging through the mud, this busyness of life, or being overwhelmed with our kids or going through health stuff that's out of our control. It's easy to dwell on where we are and what we feel God is not doing for us. You know, we get there, God, I know you're bigger than anything. I know you're able to change this in an instant. God is able to do all of this. And yet you're not. Why aren't you doing something to fix this? Have you ever, has that ever been your cry? It's mine. It's mine when we're going through a lot of stuff and we're just like, man, I can relate to that. And it's this kind of thinking, though, dwelling on what God isn't doing or hasn't done that we think he should be doing, that bogs us down. Because we start to get disappointed with God, which means we stop clinging to him. We start saying, well, God let me down. And it locks us in the mud even more. So instead of dwelling on what God isn't doing, Paul says, dwell on what God is doing and who he is. Because God is always working. And even if it's a small praise in the midst of something huge, it's something you can dwell on. Isn't that what he says in Philippians chapter 4? He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are good or rewarded, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. It will guard us. Anything. So Paul's saying, you know what? Don't dwell on what God isn't doing. Dwell on what he is. And dwell on who he is. And this kind of worship, it pulls us out of despair. It lifts us. It encourages us. It causes us to see that God is still with us. He does still love us. And he is still working. It lifts us to look for what he will do. You see, this is true worship. Worship in the mud. And it frees us from ourselves and puts our focus on God. And that's wise bog walking. And not only in this worship, Paul then builds on this and he says, and you know what? There's another aspect to this. You know, and I even talked about it before. I said addressing one another. Well, there's a community aspect to walking wisely. He says, not only should we address one another according to the word of God, but we should submit to each other out of reverence for Jesus or out of continued worship for Jesus. In other words, walking wisely or bog walking means that we grow with others. You don't want to get bogged down? Then grow with others. Be with others who are growing. Because there's safety in numbers. And we need each other. You know, this is no more true than when you're walking through a bog. If you've ever walked through a bog and you're walking along and all of a sudden your leg goes all the way in and you're by yourself, that can be deadly. You're sitting there going, I can't get out. But if you're with others, what happens when you fall in? They come and they help pick you up, don't they? And they come alongside you and they say, you know what? We want to help you. We want to encourage you. We want to stand in the gap. And it's that important when life can throw stuff at us that threatens to bog us down in our walk with Jesus. When others are with us, they can help us. The writer of Hebrews touches upon this in chapter 10, where he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promises faithful, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know what he's saying? Following Jesus and becoming his disciples is something we should never do alone. We need each other. God created us for community, for relationships. He did it for a reason. And in him, as we walk together, as we encourage each other, we can help each other when we're down. We can share stories of what God is doing through us that may encourage another person and may say, oh, things aren't totally lost. We can watch out for each other. We can help each other get stronger. Do you know what ultimately happens? We get to ultimately share in the joy of our journey with God together. When we walk together. Because walking together is walking wisely. So we want to grow with others. Walking with others, walking is wise walking and can keep us from getting bogged down. So, as we seek to follow Jesus, and we've talked about this year, following Jesus and becoming his disciple, to share him in our world, know this. This calling, it's not to follow him on a paved, smooth road. One thing we learned, and Chuck talked about this back in October with the example of Jesus, Jesus came to get dirty. And God has called us to walk through the bogs of life, right along with those who need Jesus most, just like us. And walking in this bog filled with pitfalls, mud, and all sorts of things that can cling to us and bog us down. However, you know what? God gives us tools to walk wisely, doesn't he? To be prepared for anything as we see the big picture he has for us, as we cling to him, as we worship and we grow together. So this week as we face the holiday, how many people, part of Thanksgiving you're like, yay, and part of it you're like, ugh, right? And what is that part? That's the boggy part. How am I going to get through all this? Because Thanksgiving is here, Christmas is here for joy, for us to celebrate all that God is and all that God is doing. He doesn't want it to be in it. Ugh. So God gives us what we can do. So as we face this week, as Thanksgiving and Christmas come upon us, as family gathers, as pressure builds, busyness increases, or just in general in life, and we face these unexpected things that fly at us, right? Real struggles in real life, like health issues, these finances, relationship stress. Know this, it doesn't need to bog us down. Sure, we're going to get a little muddy. We're going to get bruised. We're going to get tired at times. But we can rise and keep walking in the midst of it all by walking wisely, trusting that God is bigger than anything we can possibly face. So this week, as we start this busy journey, let's do some bog walking. Let's pray.